I'm going to share these thoughts today from Warren Wiersbe's book, The Defining Verse. Loving Jesus, we usually associate love with the quiet and poetic Apostle John and not with his impetuous and manly disciple friend Peter, the big fisherman. But Peter needed to grow in love as well as in knowledge and faith. In fact, Peter's love for Jesus was the theme of our Lord's breakfast meeting with seven of his disciples after the resurrection. In the upper room, Peter boasted of his love for Jesus. "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will," he said. "And even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." In all fairness, we should note that the other men echoed Peter's words, but it seems that Peter was the most outspoken. So after breakfast, Jesus asked Peter the most penetrating question he had ever asked him. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Peter told the truth. He did love Jesus, and he wasn't going to deny it. Yes, he had failed, but Jesus had forgiven him and was now about to restore him to his ministry. Peter was learning the lesson John wrote about years later. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Making a passionate speech and wielding a sword were not valid evidences of his love, but staying awake and praying with and for Jesus would have qualified. The better we know Jesus, the more we trust him. And the more we trust him, the more we learn to love him. Peter wrote, "Though you have not seen him, you love him." We don't need pictures or statues of Jesus in order to love him because we have the inspired portrait we need already written in Scripture. The old hymn expresses it perfectly. "Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word." Those who spend time daily in the Word, meditating on what it says about Jesus Christ, will grow in their love for him and prove it by the way they live and serve. Becoming like Jesus, after all, is the goal of the Christian life and the purpose behind God's great plan of salvation. For we have been predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. It isn't enough for us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We must also grow in grace and become more like Christ. It is very easy to grow in Bible knowledge and yet never manifest the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's easier to preach about humility than to practice it, or to study the Greek words for love than to love one another. If you want to see Simon, the clay, living like Peter, the rock, follow Peter's ministry in the book of Acts. You will meet a man of prayer, a man obedient to the word, a man who magnifies Christ in his preaching, and a man of compassion who cares for saints and lost sinners. He rejoices at the privilege of serving for Jesus. He steps aside and allows James to lead the Jerusalem church. He makes sure the widows are cared for, and he opens doors of service for qualified believers in the church. He abandons his Jewish practices, goes to the home of Cornelius, and preaches the gospel to the Gentiles. He is called on the carpet by the legalists, but he doesn't retreat. When the church leaders meet in Jerusalem to discuss the place of the Gentiles in the plan of God, Peter stands with Paul and Barnabas defending the freedom of the gospel. Praise God, a Gentile doesn't have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. The better we know Jesus, the more we trust and love him. This combination of spiritual knowledge, faith, and love, combined with God's grace, enables us to become more and more like Jesus. Peter called it growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and Paul called it perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. How did the Simon of the Gospels become the rock of the book of Acts? Of course, the Lord had prayed for Peter, taught him, and given him many opportunities to learn and grow. But there were three events in Jerusalem that opened the door to Peter's life of fullness and fruitfulness. Let's begin with the crowing of the cock, and remember that when it happened, Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. It wasn't the angry scowl of a judge, but the pained look of a friend whose heart had been broken. At that moment, Peter saw himself. and realized what he had done to Jesus. And then he went out and wept bitterly. For each of us, there must come an hour of honest confrontation with our true self in humble confession of our sins to the Lord. The second event was the crucifixion of the Savior. Peter saw part of the official trial of Jesus, but he didn't see it all, nor did he go to the cross as John and the women did. However, Peter knew what crucifixion was, and the shame and suffering his master would endure. Peter's words must have seared his heart. "I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." But it was Simon of Cyrene who carried the cross for Jesus, not Simon Peter. Christ died our death for us that we might live his life for him. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Event number three was the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the apostles to stay in Jerusalem until they had been clothed with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, that promise was fulfilled. In the power of the Spirit, Peter boldly preached the gospel, and 3,000 people were saved. He performed miracles of healing. He exposed the works of the devil. He confronted his opponents and shut their mouths, and he brought great glory to the name of Jesus. He gave direction to the church and strengthened the saints when persecution began. He was a different man. We, too, can become different people. God never gives up on us, even though we may decide to give up on ourselves. The moment you were born again, Jesus said, "You are, you shall be." We are nothing but lumps of clay, but Jesus can turn us into rocks. The eminent Greek scholar A.T. Robertson wrote about Peter, "It was slow in coming, but when the fruit was ripe, it was rich and gracious." He was a man worth the making, and Jesus knew it. He loved Peter from the start and to the end. Don't wait for the crowing of the cock, but start right now to claim Peter's defining verse, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." This Sunday, January 3rd, marks a beginning of our in-person worship. I pray that you will come and join us and celebrate the joy of the new birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.